take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. We'll read verses 35 through 39 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Romans, chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And let's finish on verse 39. Ready? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Lord, thank you that we cannot be separated from it. No matter what we do, Lord, thank you for our church. Lord, they're a faithful people, an obedient people, and a tired people from all the work they've done. But yet we're still a needy people. Lord, we need you. The Holy Spirit of God, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our minds so that we could go out and help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
As a young preacher, I cut my preaching teeth in the nursing homes, in the jails. I'll tell a story again this morning that I have told in this pulpit once, maybe twice. But it reminds me so much of this morning's subject. I remember going to a nursing home. I was about a 16-year-old preacher boy, just learning the sacredness of this black book that I hold in my hands this morning. I'd gone to a local nursing home, and they would give me a little meeting room, a little podium. And I would go around to the different rooms in which the folks staying there would live, and I would invite them to come to a meeting, a preaching meeting. I'd gone around on this particular night and gathered a crowd of people, and they were down in the meeting room waiting. And I noticed all the way at the end of the corridor an old man standing and looking out a window. He had a full head of gray hair, stood very tall, very direct kind of a man, very distinguished looking man. I walked down and I said, my name's Jeff Owens and we're about to have a preaching service. He immediately stuck his hand out and he said, my name is John Dixon Alexander. And I said, John Dixon Alexander, I'd like for you to come to the preaching meeting. We're going to talk about the love of God, and I think you're going to enjoy it. And I want you to come on down and come to the meeting. And John Dixon Alexander looked at me with a very serious look on his face and said, nobody much loves me anymore. And I thought to myself, this poor, dear man. You hear those words? Nobody much loves me anymore. Let me tell you, that's as much of the story as I'll tell. He did come to the meeting. That night he did receive Jesus Christ as Savior. He found out that somebody did love him. But let me tell you, I've thought through those words that he presented to me time and time again. I've thought of those words that that man said, nobody much loves me anymore. And in thinking about those words, I've analyzed those words, and I've thought about those words coming from that man that night in that place. I tell you how he felt. He ended up in a nursing home. The absence of sons and daughters and grandchildren. The absence of people to come by and visit him. The absence of people to come by and love on him. And I think he felt like he was in the deepest cavern that life would offer. He was in the very far back recesses of a cave, all alone, distanced from everybody to the point that he could not sense anybody loved him. Maybe it was he felt like he was on the highest mountaintop where nobody was, and nobody knew that he was there, and nobody cared about him. Maybe he felt somehow that something had distanced him, whether it was the power of light that causes us to age or whatever was taking place. When the man said, "Nobody much loves me anymore," somehow he felt very distanced from that thing called love. Here in Romans chapter 8, I again will read two verses to you where it says in verse 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul said, "I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God." What I'd like to do this morning, I hope somehow I can use this mortal, limited tongue to tell you of an eternal truth. And that truth is you too could be persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Paul had been persuaded. I will spend a little time possibly persuading you. Something had persuaded Paul. I would like that something to persuade you as well. The title of the sermon is this: things which cannot separate us from the love of God. Of course, that's what Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 is describing to us. And the outline is natural. God prepared it. See, today I speak on one of my favorite subjects. I enjoy talking about the love of our God. You've heard it said before. Don't let it become commonplace. God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Here's some good news, especially good news for me. God loves me. God loves Jeff Owens. But wait, you could put your name in there. God loves you. I said God loves Jeff Owens, but we could have said God loves Craig Bush. We could say God loves Rick Young. We could say God loves Millard English. We could say God loves Bob Jones. We could say God loves Mrs. Nash. We could say God loves Tom Tennis and God loves Mike McClain. And you can put your name in there. God loves you. See, God loves the people that you won't love. God loves the people you don't love and won't love. God loves the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16, and if you don't have it memorized, you need to memorize it. Everybody ought to know John 3:16 by heart. See, God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. You see, anyone you love, God loves them more. You get that? Anyone that you love, God loves them more. Did you know that anyone that you want good for, God wants more good for them than you want? God's love and the love of this world, though, they're not the same. John 15:12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you." Wow, that's powerful. God is saying, as I love you, you should love one another. That's not the truth of the sermon this morning, but I wish that somehow you tuck that in the back of your mind as the sermon unfolds. God said, "As I have loved you, you are to love one another." Oh, how powerful. There is no better news that I could share with you than that God loves you. His love is a powerful love. His love is a precious love. His love is a pure love. His love is a penetrating love. His love is a perfect love. Hey, God loves to love you. God loves to love me. God's love for us is both a promise and a commitment based on his character. And you won't find a flaw in his character, nor will you find a flaw in his love. In Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, he describes, Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've read those verses time and time again, and they crammed all that in there, and I thought, boy, God loves us. But I thought, maybe I ought to take a little closer look at what God is actually saying there. What is being described there? What is God saying? You see, God tells us that nothing is going to separate us from his love. But I think God understands the insecurities of man. It's funny how man can be told God loves you and we forget about it. And somehow the evil one comes along and swipes or steals from us the security of that promise from God. It's amazing how you and I can be living our life and somehow we slip under the radar of understanding that no matter where we're at or what we're doing or what's happening, there's one thing that you can go to the bank on. God loves you. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, God loves you. He might not appreciate everything you're doing, but I'll guarantee this, he loves you. He loves you. And why does God take so much time and so much insistence to talk about all these things to give us that security? God knows that you and I, as human beings, become insecure about this thing of his love and for me and for you. And I think God's trying to help us to realize, I'm in, I love you, period. I see here these things that will not separate us from the love of God. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature. Give me just a moment if I could, please. I'd like to help you to understand what that means. He said death cannot separate us from the love of God. Death?
Uh-huh.
The teaching here is that when someone dies, we are separated from them. See, death separates humans. But God is telling us about his great love, and he uses the example of death to tell us that nothing can separate us from his love. You and I, if I die, I would be away from Mrs. Owens. If Mrs. Owens died, she would be away from me. And God said, you down there on earth, when separation comes, you're away from each other. But God said, my love for you will never die, and I will always love you. He's using death as an example. Why? Maybe the most painful loss is when we lose someone that we love or somebody that loved us, we lose him. I wonder this. I was thinking about this. You know, when we lose a loved one, I wonder what about it affects us the most. Is it that we are losing the chance to love them, or is it that we are losing the chance for them to love us? But God comes along and he said, whatever the case, let me explain something to you. Death cannot separate my love for you. My love will be there. If someone who loves us dies, we tend to lose that love. But I've got good news for you. God never dies. You say, oh, my mother died and I'm separated from her love. My father died and I'm separated from his love. I've got good news for you. Our Heavenly Father never died. And he said, death cannot separate the love that I have for you. Our death means heaven. Say, wonder if I die. Well, if you and I die, then we go to heaven. Who's there? God? God. God is there. The dangers of death cannot separate us from the love of God. When we talk about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, guess what? He still loves us. When you're at the graveside, God loves you. When someone you love is about to pass away, don't forget something that will comfort you. God still loves you. He says, death cannot separate me from you. I love you. When there is death around you, God still loves you. God still loves you. Remember, death can't separate you from the love of God. But then he goes on. He says there, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Life? Life? Did you know that the anxieties of life cannot separate us from the love of God? I'll use a word here, that word stress. Stress. All the anxieties of life. Let me tell you something. When you're stressed out, freaked out, you think, I'm going crazy. You may be going crazy, but God loves you. It may calm you down a little bit just to know. When you say, I'm at my wit's end, okay, God still loves you. You see, he said life cannot separate us from the love of God. And the anxieties of life do not away with the love of God. All the time you're saying, I'm freaked out. Oh, I'm just going, I'm a basket case. I'm falling apart. Well, the love of God's not falling apart. God's right there. When the busyness of life is upon you, it cannot separate you from the love of God. You're saying, Brother Owens, the last few days we've been helping here around the church and we've been busy sun up to sundown. And oh, we've got church today and then their school starts up again tomorrow and going back to work and taking care of this and taking care of that. I'm so busy. My schedule's so full. Hey, guess what? I don't care how busy you are. God's never too busy to love you. See, God is saying death will not separate us from the love of God, nor will life. And life, that thing that it just happens to us all day long, every day. And while you and I are busy living life, God is still loving us. The trials of life cannot separate us from the love of God. You say, Brother Owens, right now it's an uphill battle. Well, let me tell you something. God's up the hill with you. I've got the trials of life. The trials of life cannot separate you from the love of God. The anxieties of life cannot separate you from the love of God. The busyness of life cannot separate you from the love of God. The temptations of life cannot separate you from the love of God. Our everyday duties do not separate us from the love of God. Mama, you get busy taking care of the laundry and cleaning the house and making the meals and picking up after your children, even the one you're married to. And you say, the duties of life, they're overwhelming to me. It's just my everyday duties. Hey, and even if they're not overwhelming, let me tell you, as you and I go about our everyday life's duties, we may forget about the love of God, but the love of God has not forgotten about us. You see, he said, life cannot separate us from the love of God. Your job cannot separate you from the love of God. You men, as you go to work tomorrow morning and they hook up that trailer to, and that 18-wheeler pulls out on the road, let me tell you something. While you're out there driving, I'll tell you this, the love of God is there. You strap on your work belt tomorrow with your hammers and carpenter's pencil and you head out to go to that job on the construction site. You may not remember, but let me tell you, every swing of the hammer, the love of God's there. The love of God's there. The love of God's there. Hey, farmer, when you go out and hook up your plow and you plow or you bale the hay or whatever it is, if it's feeding the cows or the chickens, let me tell you something. You may be busy about your job and God is busy about his. What's God busy doing? While you're busy with life, God's busy loving you. When you're busy living and ignoring him, he's busy loving you. When your eyes are not upon him, his eyes are always upon you. You see, in that passage of Scripture, Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, then it says, nor angels. No, angels cannot separate us from the love of God. Angels are wonderful beings. But I do need to tell you this about angels. Angels, you and I, if we're born again, we've experienced something the angels will never experience. You see, Jesus died for the human race. We get to sing about being redeemed. For God so loved the world, and when he was talking about that world, he wasn't talking about the world of angels. He was talking about the world in which you and I live. He was talking about mankind. When Jesus died, he died to redeem mankind. The angels know nothing about the redemption of God. There's a song that says, there's a song holy angels cannot sing. You say, what it's about? It's about amazing grace or redeeming love. The angels have never been redeemed. If you've been saved, the love of God is so powerful for you that he sent his son to die for you, be buried for you, and resurrected for you. That's a powerful love. Not even the angels in heaven understand that love. And the angels here, Paul said, I'm persuaded not even angels can separate me from the love of God. Angels are wonderful beings. Angels are powerful beings. But you know something? If an angel tried to stop God from loving you, he couldn't do it. Gabriel went to God and said, I want you to stop loving Mike McLean. God would say, you get out of the road there, Gabriel. You're not going to come between my love for Mike McLean and I. No way. If Michael, the angel, came and Michael said, God, I want to stop you from loving Rick Young. God would say, Michael, now you're getting out of place here, son. We had problems with this years ago. You can't stop me from loving Rick Young. Angels can't separate my love between me and Rick Young. Angels can't separate my love between me and Mike McLean. We hear the songs of, while he was on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels. But I'll tell you this. And that song's about calling 10,000 angels to take him off the cross. He didn't want to be taken off the cross. He wanted to stay on the cross. And if the angels would have showed up and said, hey, we're not going to let this happen to you, Jesus. We're not going to let you be crucified. He would say, bow to your knees, angels. I will die for the human race. You can call on 10 million angels, and you will not stop me from dying for the human race. I came to die. I love them. And all the angels will have to bow and say, Oh, does he love them? You say, but why would he talk about the angels? Why would God say that angels can't separate us from the love of God? Oh, God had problems with that once. The devil is a fallen angel. And you see, the devil, he's the one that always works on you and I trying to convince us that there is lack in the love of God for us. He's the one that tries to get us to forget about it. He's the one that gets us busy thinking maybe God doesn't love me anymore. You know, it's sad to me. And folks, I'm your friend this morning. Let me say, some of you know, you're up close to the Lord, and you listen to this sermon, you say, boy, I'm learning something along the way, but let me tell you, folks, somebody here this morning, I'm telling them God loves them, and they're debating it, and they're wondering about it, and there's somebody in this room that's saying, I'm not really sure that God loves me. Somebody came in this morning, they've been out in the world, and the world's tore of distress, and they hobbled into church this morning just wondering, does anybody love me? Does anybody care about me? I've got good news for you. God loves you. And not even the angels of heaven could stop God from loving you. But wait, that fallen angel named Lucifer, that fallen angel, he has spent his life since the fall trying to douse the fire of God's love. He tries to convince us that God's love doesn't work for us. I'll tell you though, the angels look at that love and admire the love of God. Did you know that when Lucifer fell from heaven, you know the story, it's found in Isaiah chapter number 14. Lucifer was one of the archangels in heaven, and he rose up, and in pride and in disloyalty, he turned on God, and one third of heaven's angels followed him. Do you realize if that one third of heaven's angels that were cast down and now are the fallen angels under the direction of Satan himself. Do you realize that one third of heaven's angels all tried to get between you and God? If all one third of the angels that got cast out of heaven, including Lucifer himself, if they tried to get between you and God and tried to stop the love of God, they will be humbled immediately. God will take them out immediately. God said, I don't care what angel, there's nothing going to come between my love for you and you. That's why he said, neither death, nor life, nor angels. Then he used the term, nor principalities. Nor principalities. You say, what does that mean? The word principalities in this passage of Scripture would be equal to our word magistrates. Magistrates, what is it talking about? People in what we would call political power. There's no police officer that could keep you away from the love of God. A pair of handcuffs can't keep you away from the love of God. Being placed in a squad car can't keep you away from the love of God. Amen, Brother Bush? Somebody puts you behind bars can't keep you away from the love of God. Ask the Apostle Paul. He and Silas were singing about the love of God at midnight while they were behind bars. Did you know that if the governor of West Virginia decided that he was going to pass an edict, the law would be God can't love the people in West Virginia, the governor could not for a fraction of a second stop God's love from getting to you. You say, well, that's an obvious. No, you better understand something. In America, we're being taught more and more how powerful the government is. The government will humble themselves in the presence of God. The day will come. And I don't care if the governor tried to stop the love of God, he cannot stop the love of God. I don't care if the senator of our state tried to stop God from loving you, he cannot. You see, God, Paul said, I am persuaded that not even principalities. You say, why would Paul say that? Well, if you know anything about the history of Paul, when Paul would go into town, all the politicians would get all wound up and bent out of shape because Paul would come and say, guess what? We have a new king. And all of them said, wait, who's the guy? Is he a Republican? Is he a Democrat? Paul would say, his name is Jesus, and he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all the politicians, they all freak out. They say, wait a minute, there's a new king, and that makes us uneasy. Hey, and the new king tells the truth, and that would make him even more uneasy. And Paul said, I don't care who you are in political power, you can't stop God from loving me. It doesn't matter if you're in the House of Representatives. You do not have enough influence to stop God from loving me. It does not matter if you are a Supreme Court Justice or the whole panel of Supreme Court Justices. They may vote someday to take the words, in God we trust, off of our coins. But let me tell you something, my friend. If it doesn't show up on our coins, let it show up on your heart. Because in God we trust that He loves us. The Congress does not have enough influence to separate us from the love of God. The President of the United States did not have enough influence to separate us from the love of Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. The Prime Minister of England does not have enough influence to separate us from the love of God. I've read this passage of Scripture time and time again. All of a sudden one day I put my brakes on, I said, wow. Look at that. Death can't separate us. Life can't separate us. Angels can't separate us. Principalities can't separate us. Then it said, nor powers. Powers cannot separate us from the love of God. Oh, power, what's it talking about? Understand, my friend, if all the powers in the world were to be turned on high, then added together, they could not create enough energy to phase the love that God has for me. The power of a thunderstorm, not powerful enough to stop God from loving us. The power of a tornado, not powerful enough to stop God from loving us. The power of a hurricane. We were all talking about, and in the news recently, Hurricane Earl, and how they would face, even at the beginning stages of the hurricane, 100 mile an hour winds. Let me tell you something. 100 mile an hour winds would like be like somebody riding a tricycle, and God is on his 1,000 cc motorcycle blazing right past that. The love of God will not be minimized. There is no power that could stop God from loving you. None. None. Not a hurricane, not a tornado, not the power of a thunderstorm, not the power of a tidal wave, not the power of a tsunami. A tsunami could separate us from the love of God. Not the power of an earthquake could separate us from the love of God. Not the powerful, not the power of the greatest flood that ever hit the earth. could separate us from the love of God. You know something? That's a real good thing, because the people in Haiti are still putting themselves back together after some pretty tough floods. But the people in Haiti need to realize that water can't separate you from the love of God. No wicked power can stop God from loving you. The National Association of Atheists in the United States of America all got together and said, that's it. We will come between God and His love for the people in America. They have no charter. They have no chance. They could not stop God from loving people. All the power of all the nations in the world, all the superpowers, and the power that they could generate could not separate us from the love of God. The power of darkness could not separate us from the love of God. We think of nuclear power. We think of the atom bomb. The atom bomb could not separate us. It's like a firecracker going off beside the power of the love of God. Say, well, there are armies. The power of armies. But all the power of the army could not separate us from the love of God. All the power of the Navy could not separate us from the love of God. All the power of the Air Force could not separate us from the love of God. All the power of the Marines could not separate us from the love of God. You know something? In the end time, all the nations are going to rise up and challenge God in the valley called the Valley of Megiddo or Armageddon. Let me tell you something. All the power they could muster could not separate us from the love of God. You see, in that passage of Scripture, he says, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Then he goes on, and he describes further this powerful love that God has for you and I through Christ Jesus. He says, things present. Things present. Yeah, things present cannot separate us from the love of God. See, no matter what happens today, that occurrence can't separate you from the love of God. Nothing present today can separate us from this marvelous love that God is describing. This marvelous love about which Paul is persuaded. Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I guess that probably includes our behavior. Our behavior right now will not stop him from loving us. Now let me make very clear to you. He may be disgusted with your behavior, but he will love you in spite of your behavior. That doesn't mean he approves of your behavior. A parent can be disappointed in their child, but still love their child. But our God loves you, Christian, no matter what's happening with you right now. Maybe it is the sin of our now, but the sin of our now will not separate us from the love of God. Maybe it is our vices, but our vices of now will not separate us from the love of God. Our pride right now will not separate us from the love of God. Now, the truth is, if we're living in these sins and we're misbehaving, we may not recognize that love. We're not quick to look at it and say, look, God loves me. Why? Because our sin blinds us. Our sin tends to cause us to think that God's not there. Hey, God's always there. God loves you. Did you know that you might say, well, I even feel like God's spanking me right now? And you ought to be glad of that, because if you've been living in sin and God spanks you, it proves that you're one of His kids. But you say, I feel like God's spanking me. Well, let me tell you something. In all the years that I spanked my own children, never a time did I hate them while I spanked them. I spanked them because I love them, and even a spanking cannot keep you away from the love of your God. The behavior of now will not stop him from loving us. Our lives now will not stop him from loving us. Our hatred of people right now will not stop him from loving us. Our evil words will not stop him from loving us. Our laziness will not stop him from loving us. Our unfaithfulness will not stop him from loving us. Our theft of his money, his tithe, will not stop him from loving us. I am not condoning any sin that anybody in this room is committing. You know me. I believe that sin is sin and it's wrong, and God deserves our best. I'm against the drinking and the smoking and the cussing and the crowding around. I'm against it. It's sin. Stop doing it. But let me tell you something. While you're doing it, God's heart is broken. And he says, I don't want you to sin, but my child, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You see, we often get lost in today and forget about loving him. But he never gets lost in today and forgets about loving us. He loves you. He said, God used to love me. Oh, no, my friend. He loves you today. He said, I feel like I'm going to get some changes made in my life, and I feel like God will start loving me here in the next month or so. Oh, no, God loves you right now. Today. 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 That's why he said things present. Things present will not separate us from the love of God. Hey, whatever is going on in your life today, please be reminded that it cannot separate God's love from you. He loves you. He loves you. In that passage, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor things to come. Things to come cannot separate us from the love that God has for us. You know what that means? There is no future event that has the strength, the influence, or the ability to separate us from the love of God. I want this sermon to strengthen you today. But folks, it's time for some of us to start taking the sermons of today and carrying them into tomorrow with us. It's not my job to continuously spoon-feed you. I may need to spoon-feed the new Christians, but there are some of you older Christians who have been around long enough. A truth ought to be preached. You ought to tuck it in your heart. And when the preacher's not around 5 years from now, you better pull that truth out of the memory bank of your heart and say, you know what? I know what to do right now. Hey, and don't you get to doubting that God loves you 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now. So many times, we let the truth that's preached slip away from us. It's good for the moment. Hey, it'll carry me for the next 3 or 4 hours. It'll carry me through today. Hey, listen, the truth of today will carry into tomorrow. And God said, I want you to remember, you are being persuaded this morning about his love. And he said that love is carrying into your future. When there's nobody there to remind you that God loves you, he said, all the way into your future, I love you. See, the love of God is for your future as much as it is for your present. You say, Brother Owens, I remember back when I just knew God loved me. Boy, he's not the one that stopped. So I remember back when it was sweet. If it's not sweet, it's not because he's not sweet. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. If his love to you is not sweet, it's because of you, not because of him. He's been loving you all along. He never stopped loving you. No matter what comes tomorrow, it cannot separate you from the love of God. I didn't say he's going to like everything you do. Matter of fact, there's some things you do he hates. But he loves you. Nothing that will happen during the tribulation period can separate you from the love of God. That's future events, you know. Nothing that will happen during the millennium can separate you from the love of God. 10 million years from now, he'll still love us. He'll still love us. Folks, the devil wants us to fear tomorrow. I've got good news for you. God's love is already there in your tomorrow. His love welcomes you with a red carpet. You say, oh, what I face tomorrow. I fear tomorrow. Oh, the pain coming tomorrow. I don't want you to worry about tomorrow. We might not even have to face it. But if you say, but I'm thinking about tomorrow or next week or next month and all the pain and all the burden and all the challenge. Hey, there's one thing that I can tell you about tomorrow. God's already there. And there's one thing that he promised. He said, I am going to love you. And he said, things to come. You say, what tomorrow I face? Oh my, oh my, oh my. The love of God is already there, my friend. So whatever you face tomorrow, I can give you one assurance that could help you to hold your head high. You say, well, I'm not going to have any friends there with me. I'm not going to have any family there with me. It's going to be so painful in what I face. You will have God there with you. You say, but how's God going to feel about me? He might be disgusted about your sin, but he loves you. See, he said, these things are not going to separate us. From what? The love of God. What will not separate us from the love of God? Death? Life? Angels? Principalities? Powers? Things present? Things to come? Then it says, height. Height. H-E-I-G-H-T. Height cannot separate us from the love of God. Height? Uh-huh. Nothing is high enough to out-extend the height of the love of God. That love that he has for you. You say, we look at heights, and you know, when something's big and tall. I was telling a man yesterday, you look at most of the presidents of the United States of America, they were very tall men. Most were 6'3", 6'4". There's a certain appreciation that people have for high things. And they want to build big high buildings and big high things. Let me tell you something. No matter how high something is, there's nothing that is high enough to separate us from the love of God. You know, nothing on the moon could separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing on planet Saturn could separate us from the love of God. No matter how high it is, nothing on planet Jupiter could separate us from God's love. Nothing on planet Uranus could separate us from the love of God. Nothing on the planet Mercury could separate us from the love of God. Nothing on the planet Neptune could separate us from the love of God. Nothing on the planet Pluto could separate us from the love of God. Nothing, nothing on the sun could separate us from the love of God. The farthest reaching stars could never have a power or a force that could separate us from the love of God. The height of the Sears Tower is not high enough to produce a power that could separate us from the love of God. The height of the Empire State Building is not so high that we can go there and be out of reach of the love of God. The height of Mount Everest could never separate us from the love of God. When I'm on a plane, 35,000 feet above the air, guess what? God loves me no matter how high I go. There is no power that is a power that is high enough, or an influence that is high enough, or a place that is high enough. Hey, you say, what about the universe, and the farthest reaching distance in the black hole? God was there a long, long time ago. God's the one that invented it, and he went all the way back to the back, to the back, to the back of the beginning of wherever the beginning was, and he put a flag there just like we do when we discover a new country or a new planet, and the flag says, my love's here. My love's here. Height. Then he said, nor depth. Depth? Mm-hmm. Depth. Nothing deep enough to separate us from the love of God. Nothing is deeper than the love of God. I love the music that we have here at our church. It's old-time religion, not going to change. I love it. I love it. But I'll tell you something. To me, nothing deeper than the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. And folks, in our weakness, when we begin to doubt, he say he's such a big God. He's way out there. He's such a big God. But that big God said, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. See, how do you know? The Bible tells me so. Depth. Uh-huh. Depth. Nothing deeper than the love of God. I like that song. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide. You say, what's deep and wide? Oh, God's love for a sinner and his ability to save. It's deep and it's wide. Deeper than any depth. Wider than any width. Higher than any height. More powerful than any power. No matter how deep a force may go, it's not deep enough to separate you from God's love. There's nothing in the deepest cave to separate us from God's love. I think of in the 8 years that I have had the privilege of being the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I came up close and began to face something that those of you that live in this area will face from time to time, and that is the collapse of a coal mine. And hardworking men stuck. And I'll tell you, there have been times when they, so far away from people, they couldn't get food. And they couldn't hear what was going on the surface. And they didn't have water. And I hate to say it, but there come the point when they didn't have air. But I'll make you a promise. I couldn't get to them, and you couldn't get to them, and the rescuers couldn't get to them, and the water couldn't get to them. The food couldn't get to them, and the air couldn't get to them. But I tell you right now, the love of God made it, because there is no cave or tunnel deep enough to keep God's love out. None. 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 There's nothing in the deepest tunnel to separate us from God's love. Nothing in that deepest pit. I think of how Joseph's brothers cast him in the Old Testament into a pit. Joseph felt betrayed by his brothers and soon would be sold into slavery. And I picture Joseph in that pit knowing his own brothers, his own flesh and blood had thrown him into that pit. But let me tell you something. If you feel like you're in a pit today, you may feel, I'm all alone. It's dark. It's deep in this tunnel. It's deep in this cave. I've got good news for you. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is the light of the world. That's Jesus Christ. His love is there. Jonah seen the whale coming. The whale swallowed him up. He went further and further down in the water. The pressure, the loneliness, the darkness in the whale's belly. But I'll make you one promise. I don't care how deep that whale swam. He couldn't swim out of the range of the love of God. He said, not height, nor depth. Nor depth. There is nothing in the deepest part of the Grand Canyon to keep us away from the love of God. There's nothing in the deepest part of the center of the earth to separate us from God's love. There's no way that the depth of the Pacific Ocean could distance us from the love of God, or the Atlantic Ocean, or the Indian Ocean. Even the deepest part of human despair and depression can never separate us from the love of God. And you say, I'm overwhelmed by the waves and the darkness and the coldness of life. My friend, look up! Look up! Look up! Jesus is there with you. When no human being understands the pressure that you're under, your God understands, and your God loves you. Paul said, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. And then, as odd as it may seem, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, nor any other creature. Nor any other creature. You say, what's that mean? He said, you name it. You name it. Whatever it is, it can't stop me from loving you. Said, I'll give you a blank check. You write in it what you want. Whatever you write, the payer of or to. He said, I'm going to love you no matter what you put in the blank that's on the top of the line. See, folks, the creature has not been created, nor ever will be, that can stop God from loving you. See, if I didn't mention it today, you say, it? Uh-huh. Whatever it is, it tends to be making you believe that you're distanced from the love of God. Whatever it is that makes you think that God does not love you. Whatever it is, if I didn't mention that particular thing today, these words cover it all. No other creature. Nobody could invent anything that is able to separate you from the love of God. You know, all the odd creatures that are predicted in the book of Revelation and what we would call the last days, I don't care how weird they are, I don't care how many wings they have, or how many horns they have, or how many big toes they have. All those weird creatures can't keep you from the love of God. Did you know the most amazing computer ever invented will be dwarfed in the presence of the Love of God? Probably the computer will become a part of the Antichrist's way of controlling the world. They talk about those that take the mark of the beast will have a 666 on their forehead or on their hand, and probably it won't be seen. It will be the kind that you maybe run your hand underneath one of the computer screeners like they use at the grocery store right now. What a massive computer. There used to be a computer that had come on the scene that it was so powerful, it just basically could run the world. They named it the Beast. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter to me, but let me tell you this. You say a computer's an awful powerful thing. That computer right there, that'd be amazing if it could help to cause the world to function and run. Let me tell you something. I don't care what computer. Hey, Bill Gates couldn't create anything that could separate you from the love of God. Most brilliant scientists, the most amazing physicists that ever walked the face of this earth, they could not create the creature that could keep you away from the love of God. There's no animal. You say an elephant's pretty big. Oh, an elephant's an ant compared to the love of God. There's no human. You say, you don't know my mother-in-law. Now you got competition going right there. There is no heavenly creature. There is no earthly creature. There is no creature now. There is no creature from the past or no creature from the future that can separate us from the love of God. And Paul said, he said, no other creature. He said, you name it, baby, bring it on. You can't stop God from loving his people. Let me quickly make a brief observation then. And what's stopping you from loving him?
Good.
What are you withholding from him? What is so big to you? What is so big to you? You say, you're not getting that. Wait a minute. Doesn't this kind of love demand our all? You see, we're to love him. That's not what the sermon's about this morning. But we are to love him. But you know what he said? He said, as I love you, I want you to love one another. That doesn't mean I condone your sin or you condone mine. But it does mean while you're in sin, I will love you and you should love me. I was reading the verse, as I did so often, maybe as you would, very flippantly, quickly, racing through it. God loves me. Know that. Already knew that. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, put the brakes on. For I am persuaded, said Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the old man said to me, nobody much loves me anymore. And I was able to say to him, sir, even here in this dark, dingy, nasty smelling nursing home, God loves you. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.